This is Liz Scafidi at UN News. It's difficult to predict when tsunamis will strike, and though occurrences are rare, investing in keeping cities safe from this deadliest and most costly disaster will keep lives and economies from being washed away. That's from Mami Mizutori, the UN Special Representative for Disaster Risk Reduction, who says proper allocation of disaster funds means a hazard doesn't necessarily have to become a disaster. She spoke to UN News' Natalie Hutchinson to mark World Tsunami Awareness Day, explaining how her office is helping to implement disaster risk management efforts around the world.
Tsunamis don't occur that often. The ones that are fresh in our minds still is the 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami, where so many people perished, not only those who were living there, but tourists coming from Europe, America. And then 2011, the great East Japan earthquake and tsunami, where hundreds and thousands of people perished in a matter of hours. And also, in terms of the economic loss, $235 billion was washed away. The very, very terrifying thing about tsunamis is because they are many times related to earthquakes, you can't really predict when it's going to come.
This reality that tsunamis could pose a threat to people is going to be true for around half the world's population. They'll be living in coastal areas. They'll be exposed to flooding and storms. How do we ensure that people are safe from tsunami risk?
There's a lot of knowledge, traditional knowledge, about what happens to where when tsunamis come. The first and most important thing is don't build where tsunamis can attack. And we're talking about housing, we're talking about critical infrastructure like schools, hospitals, even roads. It's very important to have building codes that are based in the historical loss of the country or the region or the city, telling us this happened 100 years ago, this happened 50 years ago, so you don't build there. But the other thing is, when you build, you need to build to last. It means that you need to put that extra, but not really a lot of, but extra amount of money into the building of the infrastructure so that it will be resilient. The third thing I would say is early warning systems. Fortunately, disasters in general, the mortality is going down. Why? Because we are getting more and more efficient in having early warning systems in place. But importantly, not only the system, but also to educate the people to react early to the system. Early warning, early action, this is saving lives.
What are some of the biggest challenges in implementing these measures? I mean, how do you get people on the ground to understand the importance when maybe they have other things to worry about, other priorities?
I think what you just mentioned is very important because people forget. Even in Japan, it's less than 10 years ago, right, after this great tsunami and earthquake happened. But people tend to forget, and also people want to forget about tragedies. So right after the disaster, yes, there's restrictions about going back to where you used to live, where things were washed away. But there's a tendency, and this is not only in Japan, but everywhere, that people want to go back where their ancestors, you know, started their lives. So that's one challenge. Really, how can we convince people that relocating and not going back is sometimes the better way? I mentioned about early warning system and early action. This is also not that easy. We've seen that in many cases, even where there is an early warning system, people tend to think, okay, I'm going to be okay. Or even people think, well, maybe I'm not going to be okay, but I'm not going to move because where can I go? One of the things that UN is doing on the ground is drills at schools. So educating children to react promptly to early warning systems, tell them where to evacuate, which route to take, and importantly to respond. It's interesting because adults listen to children, right? So by educating the children, they go back home and tell their parents and their grandparents, look, you know, when there's an alarm, we have to go away and evacuate. And that's one really effective way of not only educating children, but the whole community.
That's wonderful. What about for countries that don't necessarily experience these disasters as frequently? How do you create empathy within those countries, those communities?
When you look at what's happening in the world right now, can you think of one single country which is really not experiencing any disasters? I would think that now you really don't have to try to convince people that we need to be prepared. Of course, you always need to raise awareness, but I think that awareness is already quite there because of what's happening all over the world.
Yeah, there's an increased number of natural disasters affected by climate change, wrought by climate change. What about some specific examples of countries or cities that have been successful in taking tsunami risk seriously?
In the state of Washington, there's an elementary school called Acosta New Elementary School. And in 2016, when they refurbished their school, they added a bit more cost, actually one-third of the whole cost of building, rebuilding the school, and they built a shelter for tsunami. And this was because they had heard of the horrific loss of lives and damage, and at schools, importantly, in Tohoku, Japan. The last earth tsunami that attacked state of Washington is in the very beginning of the 18th century, 1700. So one can argue that it might not come in my lifetime or in your lifetime, but the community, they said, okay, we're not going to take this risk. Another example is the airport that is now being built in Yogyakarta in Indonesia. IPCC just issued a report on the sea level rise issue. And responding to this, many countries are trying to make their critical infrastructure more resilient. And this is happening, as I mentioned, in Yogyakarta, Indonesia, where they are constructing an airport which will be tsunami resilient.
And ultimately, what is the benefit-cost ratio of investing in infrastructure that is climate resilient? What would be your message to the world on World Tsunami Awareness Day about why this is important?
I would refer to a relatively recent report that the World Bank issued. It's called Lifelines. And this is a report about how important it is to make our critical infrastructure resilient. To give you one example, every $1 that you put into the construction of critical infrastructure to make it resilient will give you a benefit of $4 during the whole lifetime of the infrastructure. Now, is this a lot of money? I don't think so. I mean, if we can make our infrastructure resilient, not only from tsunamis, but from all the extreme weather events that, by the way, has doubled during the past 20 years, it makes total sense to put that $1 in there so that our infrastructure is resilient to disasters and to climate. And that is, I think, the tendency that we're seeing. This is such an important endeavor because between now and 2040, $90 trillion will be invested globally in infrastructure.
And from what you've seen so far, are you optimistic that the world is going to get on board with building safer cities and safer livelihoods for everyone?
We always need to be optimistic in the job we do. If we are not optimistic, it's very difficult to keep on powering on. I would say that the awareness is getting higher. However, to give you one rather concerning figure, in the area of disaster, still 90% of international cooperation money goes into that area after the disaster happens, and only 10% goes into the what we call ex ante. So this is before the disaster happens, for prevention. So we have to find a way to change this 10 to 90 equation, and it should be 90-10. The year 2015 was a tremendous year because so many international agreements were adopted by member states. The first one of them was the Sendai Framework for Disaster Risk Reduction, which was adopted in March 2015. This is what we call the blueprint for disaster risk reduction between now and 2030. We only have 10 more years, but importantly, that framework has adopted 7 targets that the world needs to fulfill in order to make the world resilient. And we talked about critical infrastructure, but the 7 targets are about reducing mortality, reducing people affected in terms of injured, losing livelihoods, reducing economic loss, reducing damage to critical infrastructure. And we also need to, at the same time, increase the number of countries which have national and local strategies for disaster risk reduction, because if you don't have a strategy, you can't really have a resilient world. And then we need international cooperation to be enhanced, because a lot of these developing countries, they don't have the resources, neither financial nor human, to make their country resilient. And lastly, we need to raise access to people, to early warning systems and risk information. So there are clearly defined 7 targets. Now we need to implement this. The Secretary General said the decade that we're going to enter from next year is the decade of action. And it's the decade of action for all the international agreements. Our organization will work with the member states to really implement and put into action the Sendai Framework with the 7 targets. Today, the World Tsunami Awareness Day is very important, not only for tsunami, but to raise awareness of the people in the world against all the disasters. And disasters don't have to happen. Natural hazards will keep on attacking us. But if we know how to make a society resilient, a hazard doesn't necessarily have to become a disaster.